Okay, well, this month we've been reading through the Gospel of Luke in your life journal readings, and I trust that you have been tracking through our reading plan that we offered to you at the start of the year, which takes us on a journey throughout the Scriptures and basically involves reading one chapter per day. And if you are a person who has lost your reading plan, or you just books and holding a Bible is hard work for you, I should tell you that you can download the Christian Family Center app, which has got the reading plan on it that we use. Christian Family Center app. And you'll see down the bottom, once you load it up, it says today's reading. You hit it and you get the chapter that we're reading. So if you've got an iPhone and it's smart, then you can download that app and keep up with the reading plan really easy. So you've got no excuse. Reading plan lost. Not very good with journals, books and pieces of paper. But okay, with an iPhone, then you can access the reading plan that way. And I'm really delighted to be talking about the Gospel of Luke this morning, because Luke covers a lot of territory and he addresses some crucial issues that all relate to Jesus and the life that he calls on his disciples to lead. And we cover a lot of topics here at the Hills Christian Family Center, which you'd be aware of, but there's one that we need to return to, obviously on a weekly basis, but also on a regular basis when it comes to declaring who is Jesus. Who is Jesus? The question that everyone must answer. Now, you might be sitting here and you're thinking, okay, a sermon about Jesus, a sermon about who is Jesus, surely that is a basic question that all of us can answer here, especially those of us who've been around church for a long time. We know the answer. How are we going to ever get through half an hour of talking about who is Jesus? I can hear that question ticking around your mind, there in your heart. You're already thinking about Makona and Twinings and biscuits, whatever the potters have got organised for us this morning. But I want you to just put that thought on hold for a moment and stick with me for a moment in relation to this question. Because there are good reasons for answering that question here today, and there are good reasons why you need to be confronted with the answer to that question here again today. Even if you've been a Jesus follower for a long time, you've been around church, you need to grasp it, because the implications of who Jesus is effectively change your life on a daily basis. And if you live in ignorance or unaware of the implications of who Jesus is, then there are many things that are going to happen to you. You're at risk or at temptation of being led off the path because you don't have a full appreciation of who Jesus is, or all of the things that God is wanting to do in and through you don't come to fruition because you're just basically not aware of the answer. You're thinking about other things, you're distracted, and you're not, maybe in some sense, I hope this is not true, in some sense you don't even care. But I trust that you actually do care, and whether you've been a Jesus follower for a long time or whether you're still thinking about it, that you are going to be intensely interested in the answer to this question here today, because it does change your life. The question, who is David Bland? I mean, it's interesting to me. I do talk about it a bit, but hey, it's not going to change your life. All right, who is Judy Bland? That's not going to help you a lot. Who is Dave Webb? Nah, not even that one, although it'll affect what's on the screen. But who is Jesus changes everything. Who is Jesus changes everything. And it's a question that Luke himself is intensely interested in. We know this because there's a particular phrase that Luke uses throughout his gospel that you are going to be, it's called Spot the Phrase today, folks. It's underlined up there, so you're getting a cheat sheet already. And it's only got three words, so it won't be hard to remember. But it is, who is this? And it's a question that Everyone who came into contact with Jesus in Luke's gospel could not help but ask in response to the things that Jesus was doing. Who is this? It's a question that's asked by four different groups of people, and it's asked in response to Jesus doing three different types of things that simply were turning their world upside down at the time, and that were causing them to confront the issue, who is this? And folks, whether you feel closely exposed to it or you're hearing rumours of, but the name, the response or the answer to the question, who is this, who is Jesus, is still causing turmoil and upheaval in our world today, of the very best sort. Because you cannot escape issues in relation to Jesus. In fact, if you read through our media, you might not see the name of Jesus mentioned often. But friends, his teachings and his life and the church that it has raised up, not only in Australia but around the world, is the centre of so many different debates and discussions going on here today. Whether it's in relation to same-sex marriage or euthanasia or all of those type of issues, it turns at the centre point somewhere is the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ and his first followers as we have received them today in the Bible. So the response, who is this, what is this about, what, who is this person, is still going on today and is still causing change and discussion in our life here in Australia, but also around the world. Now, this first occasion when this question is asked of Jesus, it is asked on this occasion in Luke chapter 5 by a group of religious leaders. And they ask this question on this occasion in response to an incident where a group of friends bring one of their friends who was paralysed and lay him before Jesus in faith and expectation that Jesus is going to be able to do something about it. And Jesus looks at this guy and it says that he has compassion on him, but the first thing he says to him is, friend, your sins are forgiven. So Jesus, reaches out to him, calls him friend. I don't think he's met him before, but I don't think he has. And he starts the conversation and the response by saying, your sins are forgiven. And immediately the religious leaders standing around this guy ask the question, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And when you look at that question, the very short answer to it is one word, exactly. Exactly. The confession came out of their mouth. Now, these folks aren't yet ready to accept the fact that Jesus, in fact, is God's representative in human flesh, that Jesus himself does have the authority to forgive sins. But the truth remains, and that's the starting point where he starts with this young man who is placed before him and in need of healing. So it's essential that we address the issue, Jesus is the one who forgives sins. Now, bear with me for a little while longer, because maybe you're thinking, all right, that's a pretty straightforward answer, I think we know that. But there is something that I really want you to get today in relation to the forgiveness of sins that you may not have done for a while, you may not have thought about it for a while, but it actually forms an essential part of our relationship and our life of following Jesus. So often we want Jesus to meet our need. So often we want Jesus to deal with this circumstance. So often we want this to happen and that to happen, and Jesus to be here and be this for us. But Jesus takes us to a place first where he says, your sins are forgiven. And friends, I don't know whether you realise it or not, but you desperately need your sins to be forgiven. We desperately need the grace that Jesus Christ offers. Not just once, not just the first time when we say yes to Jesus, but we need his grace and mercy every single day and every single moment of our lives. And today, I'm believing that you are going to be renewed in the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. That you're going to have an opportunity to maybe confess your sins, to maybe say, Lord, we're in need. We acknowledge this need that we have here today. And that you're going to walk out of this place having an encounter with the one who forgives sins. Because that aspect of Jesus' ministry sometimes is overlooked, especially if we've been hanging around the place for a while, especially in our tradition where organized confession is not something that we do in terms of, you know, going in a little booth and talking to a priest and that type of thing. But the ministry of confession and of Jesus forgiving our sins is absolutely essential for our daily walk with him. So on this occasion, it's in response to someone brought forward from healing. Jesus starts there. Those listening, the religious leaders listening by, just say, "How can who is this that forgives sins? Only God can do that." We say that's exactly right. And then just not long after, Jesus is invited to another situation, a dinner, where it says a sinful woman came into the event and started weeping before Jesus, crying at his feet. Her tears were flowing over his feet. She's wiping them, his feet, cleaning his feet with her tears and her hair, and anointing him and them with perfume. And it's this incredibly intense event where this woman is clearly someone who is aware of her great need of mercy and grace and forgiveness. And in the person of Jesus Christ, she sees the one who has the authority to dispense it and to give it on behalf of the living God. Now, all that the dinner guest can think about once again is, firstly, doesn't Jesus know who this woman is? If he was really of God, he would refuse to let her touch him. He would say, "Get out of here, I'm having dinner, you're a sinful person, go away from me." But instead, because Jesus has the authority to forgive sins, he welcomes into his presence the one who is aware of their absolute need for mercy and grace and forgiveness. And friends, this is our starting point with our entry into the presence of God. We never come presumptuously. We never come assuming, gee, I'm really sure God's excited about the fact that I'm worshipping him here today. I bet he's glad that I'm here in church today. Friends, he is. But it's only so that his relationship with you is either restored or begun or renewed in that place of your awareness of the need for grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Because it's in that place that Jesus meets us, and it's in that place that we are renewed and restored. So once again, this time it's the dinner guests, and they say, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Who is this who even forgives sins? Now, the reason they're using the word "even" is because the presence in the community at the time of a religious teacher, that's not a big story. They're everywhere. And folks, if you look around today, you can go into any bookshop, you can go nearly to any seminar or any conference, and you can find someone who will give you advice on how to live your life. That's not in short supply here today. You can pay top dollar for it, or you can go and see your auntie and uncle, and they'll give it to you for free. But somewhere, there's someone ready to give you advice. All right, that's not a struggle. So the fact that Jesus taught about life and gave instruction and said, you know, here's a way of doing things, in one sense, that's not news. Now, having said that, those who heard Jesus' teaching did make the comment, "What type of teaching is this?" There's another question. It's given with such authority. It's given with such surety. It's different from advice. It's really making a difference and it's catching our attention. But friends, Jesus ain't just a sermon. Jesus isn't just a teaching. It's not just an advice list. Because this Jesus even forgives sins. He's not just another person, but he is the one appointed by God to dispense grace and mercy on this earth to all human beings. And friends, whether you're aware of it or not, you might be sitting here this morning saying, Pastor, boy, I am in need of mercy. You may be fully aware of your abject poverty when it comes to your relationship with God and your ability to offer him anything that makes any difference or counts. You may be well aware of that. Maybe you're sitting there feeling pretty good about yourself. You're thinking, everyone's happy. I'm in church here today. I know Jesus is really happy. I'm serving him. I think I'm making a great... You might be just at the other end of the scale. But wherever you're sitting, however long you've been in here, whether it's 5 minutes or 5 years... You are a person that is in need of grace and mercy and forgiveness. But the good news is simply that Jesus is the one who even forgives sins. And he never turns away the person that comes to him and says, I am a person in need. I am someone who needs forgiveness. So answer number one is exactly as we've been talking about. Jesus is the one that forgives sin. It's not just a past transaction which occurred when we first said yes to Jesus, but we need to be renewed in it often, renewed in it daily, in a moment and in a situation of confession and of accepting and receiving forgiveness. Someone once said that Jesus is the God of the second chance. It's not true. Jesus is the God of another chance. Another chance. Because we need Sorry about that. Slips right in there. Oh, really? We need more than one. We need more than two. Or three or four. We need the mercy of God. Always. So often. So often. Sorry about that. I perhaps should preach this before I deliver it in public. Because obviously that's an important thing for me. The mercy of God is constant and always available. But friends, we've got to remember that Jesus is the one that dispenses it. Jesus is the one that delivers it, that gives it to us. And we're in need of another chance so often, so often, so often, so often. So friends, if it's been a while since you've engaged with the one who forgives, if it's been a while since you've confessed, if it's been a while since you've been aware of that, I'm just going to ask you to do one thing right now. Close your eyes. Everyone here, close your eyes. And I want you to engage with the mercy of God right now. I want you to be aware of Jesus by the power of his Holy Spirit, who is speaking to you now. And I want you to reflect on that thing that you are in need of mercy of, that sin or that weakness or that need. I want you to reflect on that, and I want you to see and hear Jesus saying to you, I am the one who forgives sins. I am the God of the second chance. I want you to hear that right now. I want you to hear it deep in your spirit. Just pray quietly to him. Maybe you want to actually say something to him, or maybe you're praying in your heart to him right now. But I want you to confess. I want you to heal that breach. I want you to reach out to him now as the one who is in need of mercy. speaking to the one who has the authority and the power to give it. Oh, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your mercy and your grace and your forgiveness. And I thank you that you are the one who dispenses it, that there is no other name or person that we can come to who can give us that relief, that restoration, that renewal that sets us on our feet again, that brings us into a place of relationship when we've been estranged or distant or negligent or distracted. You allow us to be restored and renewed into that place. Lord, we thank you for that. We're glad that the answer to the question, who is this, is the one who forgives sins. And in your name, we pray and thank you. Amen. Okay, so who is this? We could almost wrap there. We might have to soon. But we're going to ask it again because Luke's not finished with the question, who is this? The next time it appears, it's actually asked by Jesus' followers. So who is this is not only a question for people that aren't yet Christians, that haven't yet said yes to Jesus, but it's also a question asked by those who follow him, in this case, his disciples, his inner circle. The disciples are crossing the lake in a boat. Jesus carelessly falls asleep while they're going, right when a squall whips up and the disciples start to pray a very effective prayer. It's called the panic prayer. Some of you may know it as help. Theirs was a little longer. They simply went for the maximum faith-filled statement, "Master, Master, we are going to drown." Just to get his attention, thought that would work, and they went with that one. Now, Jesus then wakes up, rebukes the storm, it dies down, and then rebukes the disciples as well. And he says simply, "Where is your faith?" Some of you are praying that prayer right now. Some of you are saying, "Master, Master, I am going to drown. Master, Master, I'm going down." It might be financial, it might be relational, it might be physical, but some of you are saying right now, "Master, Master, I'm going down." The good news is that Jesus hears that prayer, even though you are speaking over yourself and your circumstances, a statement of no faith that simply says, I'm going under. And I understand completely how circumstances at times can make you feel like that so, but there's good news because Jesus is the one who has authority over all circumstances and over all situations. Jesus is the one with power over everything. The answer this time to who is this is the one who even controls the wind and the waves. Now, folks, I know at times that circumstances test our faith. That's one of the things that God uses them for. Your faith doesn't have the opportunity to be displayed unless it's required and tested. Did you not know this? Otherwise, it's just a theory. It's got to be put into action in some melting pot that allows it to be displayed and exhibited. And at times, you are being assailed with the thought that God is not in control of your circumstances, that God is not in control of the world's circumstances, that God is outflanked, in a flap, trying to recover, making up things as he goes along, whacking things together as best he can as you make him another mistake or someone else does. But in fact, the biblical testimony is absolutely and categorically different to that. That's almost another sermon that I would like to preach soon, but you're going to have to hang on for that one. But put simply, confronted with chaos, confronted with the thought that they were going to drown and go under, the disciples reach out and then on the other side of it say, who is this that even the wind and the waves, the natural circumstances of our world, bow down and submit to him? So next time you're tempted to think that, you know, I'm not going to make it and I don't know if reaching out to Jesus is going to do anything about it, you need to remember that one of the answers to the question, who is this, is that Jesus is the one with power over everything. Jesus is not absent. Jesus is not surprised. Jesus is not disillusioned by what's going on in and around you and in and around this world. But he is supremely outworking his plan in and through all the circumstances that are underway in this world at the moment, even stuff that we would call evil and bad, even that area as well. I understand that's difficult at times for us to take in and believe, but it's an essential second answer to the question, who is this, the one with power over everything, the one who forgives sin? Now, next time the question, who is this, is asked in Luke is by the king of the region, Herod. Jesus sends out his 12 disciples on a short-term mission trip, and it says that Jesus gave the authority to drive out demons, cure diseases, proclaim the kingdom of God, and heal the sick. Nothing too fancy. And it says they went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and, quote, healing people everywhere. That was their ministry. And so, in response to that, Herod then asked this question, I beheaded John, who then is this that I hear such things about? And Herod wanted to see him. So we go from the sinful woman, the friends, the religious leaders, the disciples, and now the king, that in authority, even he wants to know who is Jesus Christ. And the answer on this occasion is, of course, he is the one who heals and restores. So Jesus' authority is not only found in his teaching, it's not only found in the forgiveness that he offers, but it's found in his ability and his desire to make a material impact on our own situation in relation to our own circumstances and our need for healing. So as we recap before we conclude, who is asking this question? Religious leaders, dinner guests, his own followers, the king. They're all asking the question, who is this? There's no part of society, there's no person who isn't impacted by the answer to the question, who is this? Everyone wants to know, everyone needs to know, and now Jesus himself gets involved in the asking. This is the conclusion to the section on who is this. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, who do the crowds say I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others the one of the prophets long ago who has come back to life. So now Jesus is adding the answer of the crowds to those other answers that are coming through, and he's polling them via his disciples. But then, as those of you who know this passage well, he takes it one step further and he asks the most important question of all. He says, whoops, there it is. Now Jesus asks, but what about you? Who do you say I am? And Peter, thanks be to the Holy Spirit, gets 10 out of 20 and just nails it. God's Messiah, which means the one anointed, the Saviour of all of the world. But friends, there's a couple of phrases up there on the screen that I want you to reflect on just for a moment. But what about you? But what about you? Who do you say I am? Are you someone who acknowledges and experiences and thinks about Jesus as the one who is able to forgive sins, as the one who has power and control over everything, as the one who has the ability to heal and to restore? Is that your experience? Is that your understanding? Is that your acceptance? Has Jesus become just a word that sort of roughly describes or relates to what I do on Sunday? You know, we go to a place which has got something to do with Jesus. Is that what it's become for you? Or is that ministry, that threefold ministry of Jesus, something that you are engaging with and involved in and is helping out work and is experiencing? What is your response to the question, who is Jesus? Whether you've answered it affirmatively sometime in the past, or perhaps you've never given an affirmative answer to this question. Maybe you're still trying to sort it out. Maybe you're not quite sure, but you desperately want it to be true that Jesus is the one who can forgive sins, who is in control over all circumstances, who does heal and restore. I like the answer that is recorded in the older NIV version in Matthew's gospel when this account happens, when Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." I mean, you just can't go any higher than that. Christ, of course, means anointed one or Messiah. That's why it's translated that way in the newer versions of the NIV. But the Son of the living God. And that brings us to this list. Who needs to know who Jesus is? Religious leaders, pastors, ministers, church leaders, they have to know. Dinner guests, those down at the pub, those you catch up with in circumstances, they need to know. Jesus' own followers need to know so that they can engage with him appropriately and in the right way. The king, those in government ruling our laws, they need to know. The crowds need to know wherever they might be. And of course, you must know. You must give the answer that Peter, one of Jesus' closest followers, give. You must give the answer that says, "Jesus, you are all of those things. And I need you to be all of those things. I need to relate to you in a way that affirms that you are all of those things." Folks, I just want to ask you to dwell on that for a moment, to think about that for a moment, to ask yourself whether you've lost contact or connection with who Jesus is, or whether you've lost contact or connection with what Jesus is, or what he does in your life. Maybe you're in a situation where you desperately need Jesus to be one of those three things for you today. I just want to encourage you now, as we come into a time of prayer, to close your eyes, to bow your heads, and we're just going to pray, and we're just going to offer you that opportunity to interact with Jesus now. I might ask the team to get ready to come forward as well, and we're going to have a time of worship. But Lord, I just thank you so much for the proclamation here today of who you are, of what you've done. And Lord, I thank you for the fact that you never ever turn away from us, that in our moment of need you are there, in our moment of need that where we look to you and we cry out to you, that you are with us. And Lord, I just thank you so much that you are the one who forgives sins. You are the one with power and authority over everything. And you are the one who heals and restores. And Lord, I want to pray for every single person here this morning. Those who are well aware of these things. Those who say, "Yeah, I know these things and I believe them. And yes, I want to see them outworked in my life and in the lives of others." Father, I pray that today they might have a refreshed, renewed experience of you through the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, I want to pray for those who have a need at the moment to confess, to have their relationship restored with you, who need the encouragement that you give as you forgive sins. Father, may they be restored and renewed right now. Father, I want to pray for those who are doubting, who are struggling to believe that you are with them, that you are able to work in and through their circumstances, that you are able to bring good out of bad. Lord, may they be recovered and restored in their faith here today. Father, I want to pray for those who are in need of healing, especially, Lord, as Pastor Ian Miller's ministry approaches us next week, that they might be encouraged that you are the one that turns the world upside down as you heal and restore lives. And Father, I also want to pray for those who have not yet said yes to you, who perhaps are still uncertain if you are who the Bible says you are. Father, I pray today, right now, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would be revealing yourself to them, just like you did with your servant Peter, that they would be able to make that affirmative answer. You are God's Messiah. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. You are the Saviour of the world, and you are my Saviour. Father, I pray that they might make that confession now, that they might say yes to you and say, I believe it's true. I believe you are the one. I believe you are the one who was sent into the world to die for our sins, to restore us to the Father, to our relationship with God, to heal us of our diseases, and to rule over our circumstances in our life, so that we could always give thanks no matter what's going on, because we would know that ultimately everything comes back to you, that your say-so rules over every circumstance in our life, and that if we are experiencing things that maybe we consider to be bad or even evil, that we could know that you are able to work in and through them. Somehow you can bring good out of them. Somehow you can restore us through them. And Lord, I thank you for that ministry. I'm so glad that you're more than a teacher. I'm so glad that you're more than an advice giver, but that you are in fact one who delivers, one who forgives, and one who restores. Father, we thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, in your name we pray. Amen. Folks, we've got a few minutes before we close our service, and I'm going to ask Sam and the team to lead us in a song. And we haven't opened up the front for a time of prayer ministry for quite a while, so I'm going to invite you now to jump to your feet. And if something about this message today has touched you, if there's something that you need prayer for that relates directly to this, then I'm just going to open up the front for a few moments before we close the service. And I'm going to invite you to come down now. I'd like to pray for you. Judy's here to pray. If any of our leaders are ready to pray based on how many people come down, that would be great. But let's just now acknowledge, who is this? Let's acknowledge that now together. Let's be renewed in the answer to that question as we sing now. And if you need prayer, come straight down, folks, so we can pray for you straight away as Sam and the team leads us. Thank you, Sam.